But our next guest, guys, you know him well.
One of the greats.
He's a chief sports writer at the Sydney Morning Herald, but he's devoted a lot of his time in the last couple of years to a book, If These Walls Could Talk. It's a celebration of the Sydney Cricket Ground. It's available at all big books, big book stores and online at stokehillpress.com. He's a frequent runner down at Centennial Park, and he's a mad New Orleans Saints fan. It's Andrew Webster. Webby, welcome to the show.
Yes, Webby.
Thanks for having me. Webby, what could happen in 20 minutes?
Webby, before we get into the books, first of all, things must have changed in your life some that you got time for books. Now I see books is telling me he sees you exercising at Centennial Park. What happened to the man I used to know?
I know. It's all changed. Well, Pinchy, you know what it's like, mate.
I do.
It's yin and yang.
Yeah, I know better than most.
You need some balance. You need some balance.
Now, Webby, I'm just looking at this book here. You've got Peter Garrett giving you a bit of a forward, which I suppose is it a forward? Whenever you bring people together in a common cause, when the tribes come together on the hallowed turf of the SCG, it's always something special. When I think of this Sydney Cricket Ground, I don't think of Peter Garrett, but of course, he would have played there, wouldn't he? He had a concert there.
Well, he did. So the genesis of this book was book ideas. It was after I'd had a gut full of ink at a function on the gravy train that sports journalists usually get on. So I was at the Bradman Foundation function in 2014, and Steve Waugh and Sachin Tendulkar, no less, who I bumped into in the Brasco just before he went on stage.
Probably safer to bump it in him than me or Fletch in the Brasco.
Frank Caller. So they spoke, and I remember sitting there and I'd quaffed all this red wine, and Steve Waugh was talking about his last ball century from 2003. And they asked him, what was the thing that stood out the most? Like who, you know, at the ground, or what perspective from people that over the years had stands out for you? And the thing that he said that resonated the most was that he'd heard that there was a country race meeting in Victoria where the horses had gone into the barriers, but because Steve Waugh was edging closer to this epic century that saved his career, they brought the horses out of the barriers so the jockeys could listen to the crowd could listen to the commentary over the loudspeaker, put the horses back in, and then they ran the race. So from there, I texted Phil Heads, who was the communications director at the SCG Trust, and said, I want to write a book about the moments that define the ground. And over the last 8 years, we finally got to the finishing line. And I wanted all these different moments that showed you the diverse sports and events that have been at the ground. Midnight All reforming for the Wave Aid concert for tsunami relief in 2005. Was one of those chapters, and I interviewed Peter Garrett for that part of the book. So that's why Peter Garrett's on the back. There you go.
Webby, with writing, and I suppose it's different with the newspaper where you're writing articles every day, but do you need some sort of personal connection with what you're writing about, or a passion about something you're writing about, or can you just fire away? And because I think it's a big achievement writing a book, so you need some sort of passion behind it, do you, or you don't?
Yeah, well, that all the money.
Yeah, that helps.
That always helps. Mm. Look, this is my seventh book. Some I've been more passionate about than others. This one, as I said, lived, the start of it was 2014, and it's taken a lot of work. I've written other books in between. I wrote Cameron Smith's book last year, so that took a lot of time as well, so this had been on the back burner. It wasn't going to happen because of COVID and various things, various publishers. I was very lucky that a guy called Jeff Armstrong from Stoke Hill Press believed in this book as much as anyone, and that's the reason why we've come up with what we've come up with. But, Finchie, you don't do it really for the money. You do it because you love them, and I love to write. I love to write, and I love sports, so I get a lot of enjoyment from it. And it's out of the day-to-day stuff that you'd have to do in the newspaper and talk, or the jibber you got to talk about on radio sometimes. Mm.
So, Webby, you've covered everything. You've covered, obviously, the cricket, Origin with Stevie Mortimer, AFL. What's your favourite chapter in the book?
Mate, I have to... Well, there's a few... all of them, Fletch, all of them. I have to say that the thing that I loved the most was the Wave Aid concert. I'm talking about all the great concerts that have been held at the SCG over the years. I interviewed Phil Jamieson, who sung at Wave Aid. they had the three Evie songs from the Rights, that, and he sung Evie number three. And he told me this great story, Gemmo, about how it was just this epic day where they'd gone from the big day out the day before and then had come to the SCG. And he said the things that you remember in the moments in time, he remembers getting into a lift and here he was with Heath Ledger and Michelle Williams. And he said that was the last time that he ever saw Heath Ledger alive. So everyone was there that day. But Peter Garrett, the way that he described it, Powderfinger were the second last act. And they had gone over time, so everyone was a little bit filthy with them because Midnight Oil had reformed for this concert in particular, and Peter Garrett was the member for Kingsford Smith. He was my local member because I lived in Coogee, so it was quite bizarre that they've reformed, and here's Peter Garrett, the member for Kingsford Smith, rushing through their set with all this energy and typical Oils energy to try and to get through their set before the 10:30 noise curfew, otherwise they were looking at a massive fine. And he was the member for Kingsford Smith at the time. So just him recalling all that and the way that they came together and they did a warm-up gig at Manly RSL Club, I think it was the two nights before, and just how nervous they were despite the fact that they played together for so long. To be honest, that was my favourite chapter, Wavode.
Yeah, I thought it might have been Phil Jemison, big day out straight through to Wavode. Wouldn't have been the only person who'd done that. Maybe Webby might have been alongside him then, and so might have I. Talking about, there's obviously a lot of great sports and that too, but it was because so many characters with Wavode and then obviously around the tsunami, did that affect those musicians because they were doing it for a good cause?
It's affected Silverchair enormously. So Silverchair hadn't recorded for a long time and were pretty much teetering on the brink of breaking up. And Daniel Johns basically didn't think that they had a future. And he's written this in his own book, where watching Midnight Oil perform that night convinced them to stay together and basically go on and record a whole stack of songs down the track. So if not for that night, then Silverchair probably would have broken up. So yeah, there was a pretty momentous night.
Webby, do you discuss the hill at all? We were chatting earlier about being on the hill. Is there a chapter dedicated to the shenanigans of the hill, like the AKA bee snakes, all that
it's more about moments, not so much parts of the ground. But I do talk about the hill a lot. I didn't go into some of the sordid memories that have happened there over the years. But it gets covered off quite strongly in the World Series cricket chapter.
Yep.
Just about how I wasn't aware things got really loose that night. I was only young.
Right. What happened? Yeah, do tell.
I think they completely misunderestimated the crowd that they were going to get. Yeah. So everyone talked about that first game of the second year of World Series cricket as the night that Kerry Packer won the war against the Australian Cricket Board because they heavily promoted it. It was the first time that they played a World Series cricket match on a traditional cricket ground like the Sydney Cricket Ground. But from about 6 o'clock onwards, when the lights came on and the sun went down, it got absolutely out of control. And I think there was a game the next day. It was quite subdued because I think everyone was too hungover to really celebrate from the night before.
That's fantastic. 8 years, you said, Webby, to write this book. What is it?
Yeah.
Is that a usual length of time, or do you get more energy? Or, you know, sometimes you just think, oh, it's not going to work, and then you get different, you know, you come again with more energy. Why did it take 8 years? Because it's obviously, you know, so many great moments at the SCG. Is it just other things, other hurdles you got to jump?
Oh, it's hard to juggle books when you've got a full-time job. But also this one in particular, very heavy with research. Like the chapter I wrote on Ray Bartz, who got karate chopped during a friendly Socceroos in the throat, and it ended his career and almost ended his life. Like I went up to Newcastle and interviewed Ray Bartz up there, but I spent hours upon hours, days actually, in the State Library going through old newspaper clippings and the microfiche trying to find the bloke who actually karate chopped him in the first place. So the person who I thought it wasn't him. So I've managed to track down who it was. It's a labour of love.
So Webby, when you come up with an idea for a book, is it a hard sell? Like, what do you have to do? Do you got to go speak to a publisher, or do you have to kick in and fund it as well? Like, how does that all work?
I don't pay for anything.
No, I've seen you.
Just
the,
like
I've seen
you at the bar. Jeez, nothing changes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mate, Tony Lockett and the Swans. That was a massive moment when he. Now, not only arriving there, do you cover that with his goal when he kicks the record point?
We cover Plugger's point against Essendon, and we also cover him breaking Gordon Coventry's all-time kicking record a few years later. The thing that I found most intriguing about that chapter, apart from the fact he wouldn't speak to me, he's a recluse Plugger.
I don't think he speaks to many people, does he?
He doesn't talk to anyone. But I think that sort of adds to the mystique of the guy. Mm. The fact that he was so hated.
And what amongst teammates?
He was so hated in Sydney before he arrived. Oh, right. Sydney face because of what happened with Peter Cavan, as you may recall.
Mm.
And he hated Sydney because they once put a little piglet on the ground with Plugger on one side and the other. And they thought it was gonna piss Plugger off because he beat at the ground. He was actually injured and wasn't there, and he writes in his own book how he was sitting at home and he saw it. On a serious note, mate,
The Phil Hughes incident, that must have been pretty tough to cover.
It was Finchy. We struggled with whether this should be the last chapter or not, but I thought it was really important to end the book this way. It was such a significant moment. I covered his death. I covered his funeral. And I covered the hardest part for me was to cover the inquest into his death and to see how traumatic that was for his family sitting in the front row of that inquest. It was really, really tough to watch. But just as it was like the Sydney Cricket Ground is the place that they lost their great mate, it's also the place where they remember him. Mm. There's that beautiful bronze plaque outside the Australian dressing room that they all touch every time they go out to play. And it's where they feel like they have a connection with him. I interviewed Warner and Clark for that chapter, and they just talk about how the Sydney Cricket Ground was always a special place for them, but even more so because it's basically a shrine to their late mate. So, and that's the case for a lot of people, boys. Like there's amazing stories about how the Cricket Ground Trust is constantly asked if people can scatter the ashes of their loved ones on the turf, because they just always that's what they always.
I've always wanted to know that. What is the edict there? Are they allowed to?
You are. I don't think you can just like. I heard one story that some bloke just walked up and emptied his pockets.
Like in The Great Escape.
Shawshank Redemption, dropping out of the pockets. Andy Dufresne.
And can I just say, be careful of if a big heavy nor'easter is coming in. Maybe be conscious of that. Which way you get out of them, but. But it happens. It's like they regularly get requests from families wanting to scatter the ashes of their loved ones on the cricket ground.
Webby, you spoke about the chapters. Obviously, writing an article, you have a certain flow to what you're doing with the chapters. Do you just write certain chapters and then try and put it all together, or is there an actual way of putting what chapter should come after another? Then the reason why you put obviously Hughes at the end.
This book was a bit different, Finchy. So we decided that we wanted 10 moments post World War II, and we wanted a variety of sports and events to reflect it. I thought that it's in chronological order, to be honest. So this one was much easier. But in terms of when you're doing it for any other book or an autobiography, I find it very difficult. Like structure is a really big thing to try and work out where things should go and when to introduce people and voices and. It's that stuff, but this one was pretty easy because there's sort of 10 self-contained chapters that we think tells the story of the Sydney Cricket Ground and what a special place it is.
Yeah, Webby, just in time for Christmas too. So if you're a sports nut, it just covers every sport. So well done. Actually, how much is it? Tell us how much it is.
For you guys, I think it's $49.
$49. That's a bargain. But it's going to cover across all sports. So well done, Webby. I've got the copy here. I'll be taking it home. And as I do with all my books, I read them on the Brasco. Mm. So thank you. Thank you very much for your time, buddy.
No, thanks, boys. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Oh, we're having a great time here. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Yeah. Only two more sleeps to Christmas for me, Webby. Thanks for that, mate.
Is it too early?
No, no, like I said, two more sleeps for me.
No way.
I'm dreaming of a wide.
The book, Walls Could Talk, a celebration of the Sydney Cricket Ground, available at all big bookstores and online at stokehillpress.com.